Welcome to WMNF, 88.5 FM, WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. The Pinellas County School Board will meet this afternoon. Unlike Hillsborough, Pinellas County schools have no mandate for wearing face coverings on campus. Instead, in Pinellas, masks are recommended but not required. According to a count by the Tampa Bay Times, as of Friday, there had been a total of 19,160 positive coronavirus cases among school children in these four counties: Hillsborough, Pinellas, Pasco, and Hernando. About 4,000 of those have been in Pinellas. And according to Politico Florida, the number of COVID-related child deaths in the state has more than doubled since the beginning of August. We're going to have a guest on in just a bit with Pinellas parents advocating for public schools. But first, we're going to hear about a controversy in another county. Last Tuesday, parents clashed over disagreements about mask mandates at a Pasco County School Board meeting. Here's the story from WMNF's Daniel Figueroa IV, who reports that pro-mask parents honked horns and rallied in cars, and that prompted faculty to turn up the volume inside.
Nearly 20 cars circled the parking lot just off Lando Lakes Boulevard. School board meetings aren't generally known for excitement, but the question of whether or not to mask children has brought the fight out. School board meetings have seen increased arrests and incidents as parents continue to be polarized on the issue of whether or not to mask children. Outside the meeting, two SUVs driven by anti-mask parents blocked the circling vehicles. One man got out and confronted a woman whose vehicle was adorned with a sign reading, "Follow the science, not DeSantis." She said she was following science and the masking recommendations of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. He said he was using common sense and eventually walked away, calling her a brainwashed communist.
"It's common sense. That's my credential.
I'm listening to the scientists.
What scientists?
All of the scientists.
All of them? What do you say to the mother who lost her son to fucking cancer, to fucking all the other out there? What about every flu death that every kid dies of every single year? You never said a word about that. But all of a sudden.
Pro-mask parents have been pushing for mandates with renewed fervor. A Leon County judge last month ruled that Governor Ron DeSantis's executive order threatening to penalize school districts for implementing mask mandates without a simple parental opt-out was an unconstitutional abuse of power. But the governor appealed the ruling, which has prevented it from taking effect. A hearing is scheduled for Wednesday that could result in the judge's ruling going into effect. Pasco has had more than 3,000 student COVID-19 cases this year and no plans to move from its mask optional stance. But parents like Kimberly Cox want that changed.
"I care enough about your children to do anything for them. I'm literally asking you to put a mask on your face and have the teachers and the students and the bus drivers and all of the staff put a mask on there."
Another parent, Alicia Zalay, gave board members a petition asking for a mask mandate. She said she's collected about 2,000 signatures so far. More than a dozen districts around the state have defied DeSantis's order, including the state's largest districts. The mandates come as the more transmissible Delta variant of COVID-19, along with lax regulations in Florida, have brought the pandemic to new heights. Inside the meeting, the mood was just as tense. The meeting was briefly paused when one parent, Joseph King, accused another of pushing past him and spoke out of turn during the meeting, cursing at board members until he was removed.
"Absolutely not. I'm not the one being disruptive. They were. They had no reason to get up.
Are you kidding?
They had no reason to get up.
She needs to go.
She needs to go. She's starting.
This is going to be the last.
I've been quiet.
This is going to be the last warning. We will clear the room and bring the speakers that have cards one at a time. Y'all put phones up and listen to the speakers and let's move ahead, okay?"
He was later allowed to speak and return despite telling law enforcement officers he would handle it himself if anything happened again. More confrontation spilled over after the meeting, causing law enforcement to ask some parents to leave or face arrest, but all dispersed without incident. According to the Pasco School Board calendar, the next meeting will be held at 6:30 p.m. on September 14th. For WMNF News, I'm Daniel Figueroa IV in Lando Lakes.
And I'm Sean Canaan here in Tampa, and we are having a talk show this morning about masks in schools. Again, it's an issue that doesn't go away. The pandemic is still raging. People are still concerned about masks. Whether there's people, like you heard in that Pasco County story, who oppose mask mandates, and whether there are people who are thinking that masks protect everyone when everyone is wearing them. So what do you think? We're going to take your calls later in the show. We're also going to have a guest from parents, Pinellas parents, that is, advocating for public schools. Where does the legal battle stand? Of course, we know that the governor has said there can't be mask mandates, and courts, different courts, have said that's okay, and other courts have said no, there can be mask mandates in different counties if they're justified. So let's hear, this isn't the latest. This is what happened last Wednesday in Leon County courts. Last Wednesday, Leon County Judge John Cooper again used Governor Ron DeSantis' own arguments to rule against him on mask mandates. WMNF's Daniel Figueroa IV reports Cooper set aside a stay to his original ruling, meaning the state can no longer punish school districts for implementing mask mandates. And we're going to hear an update on this after this story from Daniel Figueroa IV.
In the initial judgment, Cooper ruled in favor of the defense on the health and safety aspects of the case. But it wasn't for the reason defense counsel Michael Abel seemed to think.
If we're talking about safety and we're talking about health, this court found for the defendants, which allowed.
I didn't say I agreed with you ever.
Right.
In fact, I said the overwhelming weight of the evidence favored the plaintiff on that issue, but not overwhelming enough to pass the standard that I think the First District Court of Appeal passed, which I must abide by.
Abel made the argument that assessing the motion based on the idea that masking students could save lives was irresponsible. Cooper told him he was wrong.
The evidence in the case was clear, demonstrating that the CDC recommendations for universal masking of students, teachers, and staff represents overwhelming consensus of scientists, medical doctors, and medical organizations.
But because some doctors might disagree with the CDC, Cooper said the District Court of Appeal, or DCA, could have potentially ruled against him on that count. But he remained confident in his initial findings. Cooper said the state's defense placed most of its focus on the newly signed Parents' Bill of Rights. DeSantis signed the Bill of Rights into law in July after Republican legislators championed it during the last legislative session. DeSantis and subsequently his lawyers argued that under the bill, parents have the ultimate say in medical decisions for a child. They argued the Bill of Rights made mandating masks for health reasons illegal. But Cooper said the state was trying to pick and choose aspects of the Bill of Rights that played in its favor while ignoring parts that didn't. Cooper said DeSantis violated a bill he signed into law less than a month after doing so.
This isn't whether I agree with masking or not. The issue is, have I decided that the governor has to comply with the laws passed by the Florida legislature? I say everybody has to do that.
According to the Bill of Rights, school districts can create health policies if they are rational, meet a compelling need, and are narrowly tailored. It gives parents a right to object, but the districts also have the right to defend their policies without prior restraint.
The bottom line is, this case is about enforcing the laws the legislature passed. And that's why I think a stay, that in the pandemic situation that we are in, well, I think setting aside this stay is appropriate.
Cooper said the stay is in effect immediately, which means the Department of Education can no longer withhold salaries or otherwise penalize school districts that implement mask mandates. The DCA, however, will have the final say. For WMNF News, I'm Daniel Figueroa IV.
And I'm Sean Canaan. And so that was the latest as of last Wednesday. Then, of course, right after that, on that last point, on Friday, a state appeals court granted Governor DeSantis approval to resume punishing school districts that enforce mandates. And that reversed an earlier judicial decision. So that brings us up to where we are. Later in the show, we're going to hear about how the parents are suing to overturn Governor DeSantis's effort to ban school mask mandates are asking Florida's Supreme Court to take up the case. We'll do that in just a bit, because what I want to do is I want to introduce my guest right now. Joining us by Zoom right now is our guest, and she's Tammy Kaplan. She's with the group called Pinellas Parents Advocating for Public Schools. Welcome to WMNF, Tammy.
Hello, welcome. Can you hear me?
I can. Thanks so much for joining us. And you're part of a coalition that involves the group Faith in Florida, Faith in Florida, Pinellas County. They have a Facebook event that lists encouraging mask mandate support to gather for this afternoon at 5 for the Pinellas School Board meeting. And you're part of that coalition. So tell people what's happening today at 5 in Pinellas County Schools.
Well, there's a school board meeting at 5 o'clock today, and while the mask mandate is not on the agenda, like the last school board meeting, one of the members is going to make a motion to hold a special meeting in order to change the district's policy on masks and actually possibly just explore more mitigation. But that was turned down at the last meeting by a 4-3 vote, and they're going to try again, and hopefully we will try every meeting until we actually get something done. I know that our group, and we've been working with probably 14 different advocacy groups have come together to do this. We've been sending emails, we've been calling. There was a press conference before the last school meeting, and we did a gathering, not rally, prior to the last school meeting. But honestly, we've decided against that because the anti-maskers have come out in such volume and with such venom that it's not worth engaging in. So we're just going to go to the meeting, sign up and to speak, and hope that we are heard this time. I know last time, I believe there were 5 or 6 pediatricians that spoke about conditions. And so it's kind of alarming that the school board has heard all of this information, but is still not doing anything about it.
I want to remind people that our guest is Tammy Kaplan. She's with Pinellas Parents Advocating for Public Schools. And we're talking right now about a school board meeting that's happening in Pinellas County at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Her group and others are advocating people to go there to talk about why masks are important in schools. And as you mentioned, the last time this was brought up was there was a 4-3 vote against mandatory masking. But my recollection is that there was one school board member that was kind of on the fence, and there was almost a technicality maybe that made this
yes.
school board member
well,
remind
was,
us about this.
The motion was actually in regards to a special meeting, not exactly the mask mandate, because the district has to hold a meeting to discuss any changes before they can make a change. So they would have to have a meeting first. And there was a lot of debate back and forth. Caprice Edmond is the one who put the motion in place. Laura Hine and Nicole Carr both supported that. Eileen Long and Carol Cook, I would say, are more on the fence because they felt that there was a legality issue due to the executive order. Since that time, I mean, it's legally a little bit blurry, but Judge Cooper did rule in favor of parents that it was not constitutional for the governor to do a ban on mask mandates. Appeals court had overruled his stay. I'm not an attorney, but basically it means that we're still kind of in limbo. I noticed last night in doing some research on this, there is a possible call by DeSantis to bring the legislation in so that they could actually make this an actual law versus just an executive order. The two are slightly different because, of course, one is just based upon the whim of the governor. And in this case, it seems pretty clear from attorneys that I've spoken with that it's an overreach. And that's kind of the same thing that you're hearing from Judge Cooper. And there are multiple lawsuits that are happening in place. We don't know where they're going to end up. We hope that they end up in favor of the people, because most polling is showing that about 70% of parents are for masking. And as well as Pinellas County Schools is just simply not doing as well as others. Right now, there, I believe, are almost 10,000 students and staff that have been impacted by this. We have issues with not enough teachers, not enough subs. There isn't coverage. I know in a Countryside High School, students are sent to an auditorium if they don't have a teacher. I have another parent that sent me a message that this is the second time her daughter's been quarantined since school has started. That was the total amount she was quarantined all of last year. So there's a huge loss of learning that's happening because the spread is occurring. And I can speak more to that, but I'll you know, let you go from there. But it's not going well. Last year it went much better. This year it's all over the place. So
our guest is Tammy Kaplan with Pinellas Parents Advocating for Public Schools. You're listening to WMNF Tampa. It's 10:21 in the morning. In this hour, we're talking about masks in schools, whether there should be mandates. There's a mandate in Hillsborough with a medical opt-out. In Pinellas, it's masking is recommended, that is, but is not required. There is a motion, or there should be a motion tonight at the 5 o'clock school board meeting from Caprice Edmonds to have a vote on whether there should be a meeting to see whether there should be required mandatory masking in Pinellas County schools. So let's back up a little, Tammy. Why is it important? Why do you think it's important to have everyone at a school masked up?
Well, it was interesting. I was speaking to several people to try to figure out a good analogy for this, and I think that this one hits it on the mark. Optional masking is kind of the same thing as saying that the speed limit is there, but it's optional, it's suggested. You can do whatever you want. You don't have to follow it. Obviously, that undermines the entire point of the speed limit, and it's not safe. And the same thing happens with masking. If both people are not masked, you lose the efficacy of wearing a mask, unless you're wearing respirator masks, which I don't think is available for most students. And so most of the studies have shown that when you have an infected person who is asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic with someone who is masked, they're still at a high risk for catching COVID. And the Delta variant, as we have seen, is twice as transmissible. It's as transmissible as chickenpox. So there's great concern that people are getting sick. I know I have three children in Pinellas County Schools. At my youngest school, her teacher was teaching online, and so her class was joined with another, which would put 44 kids in one classroom. The following week, the class started on Monday with 8 students, and by Friday was down to 4. With these patterns continuing, again, learning isn't able to happen. It's continually being interrupted because, and now, of course, what they're doing, and I don't know how many people have read this, is they're going to do less quarantining, they're going to do less notifying parents, which is the opposite of what we need. Parents need to know what's going on. A lot of us have found out our kids have been exposed because other parents have been kind enough to call us and say, hey, my kid is positive, they sit next to your daughter. And so I've been able to test my children that way. I have yet to get an actual letter from the Department of Health. So, and also they don't contact trace during lunch when they're not wearing masks, or at PE or recess or any places where it's a lower risk, but still possible. And also, again, it's just extremely disruptive to the kids. It's extremely disruptive to the teachers. All the teachers that I've spoken to were extremely stressed out. And the other side of it too, from a medical standpoint, if you look at what's going on in our hospitals, they are completely overrun. CNN did a special on St. Anthony's, I believe it was Friday, and the headline was that it's their World War II. One of the nurses said that they feel it is as bad as New York's first wave was. I can't speak to that. I can only speak to that's how her experience feels. She's worn out. There is one ICU bed that is not COVID. And when ambulances are coming in, it's taking 15 minutes, 2 hours for emergency situations for people to just be seen. So we're creating an environment where the community is not safe when simply masking in schools is going to help that. What you do outside of school, that is your choice. And this is the whole entire argument is based on the Parents' Bill of Rights and personal choice and freedom. But at the same time, I would say, you know, you have a dress code that you have to follow. You have to wear shoes. There are other things that you have to do. Wearing a mask is just is merely a safety precaution. It's not a violation of your freedom, particularly when we know for a fact that this is how this is being transmitted. Students are in close contact. They're not social distancing. And again, the numbers themselves, if you look at the dashboard, are crazy. It absolutely is preventable. Absolutely something that we can do about it. All we need to do is wear masks. I know I've spoken to some teachers who feel that it's too difficult to keep the masks on. Minority of teachers, definitely, but again, want to be fair to the fact that this isn't like a cut and dry thing where everybody agrees. However, to that, I would, you know, if you have a student that's misbehaving, you wouldn't say, oh, well, they're misbehaving, there's nothing I can do. You know, you need to take charge. And this is something that is important enough. We have lost multiple teachers in the district from COVID. We don't know exact numbers of how many kids are hospitalized or sick. We do know that since July, 13 kids have died in Florida, 68 educators have died. And why continue this when we have a very, very simple mitigation strategy that that works? And the other side that people will talk about is that with regards to the masks, that they're saying they're not effective. And what essentially is happening is that, yes, a one-layer T-shirt mask is not going to be terribly effective. Ideally, you want to have 2 to 3 layers of protection. And once you do that, you have very good protection. You have an extremely low risk of either party transmitting if either of them are positive. And that's what you want. That's the protection that we need. So to me, it's a no-brainer given all of the data on it between the American Academy of Pediatrics, the CDC, Johns Hopkins. The list goes on and on where they have discussed the need for a universal masking in schools. So my question is, why aren't we doing it when we know that that is what the guidelines suggest? And we've seen elsewhere that that's working. There are also districts that test their students once a week because you have asymptomatic spread that you don't know about. I don't see that ever happening here, but there's so much more that we could be doing. And instead, it seems that the district is just moving along like this is a regular year. It's not a regular year.
Well, let me interrupt you for a second and remind people that we're listening. We're speaking with Tammy Kaplan with Pinellas Parents Advocating for Public Schools. There's a school board meeting in Pinellas County in Largo this afternoon at 5, and she and other groups that are affiliated with her group are advocating for people to come and talk to say why mandatory masking is important in schools. And you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. I'm Sean Canaan. It's 10:28 in the morning. And I'm going to give out the number because it'd be good. I'd like to hear from others in other school districts besides Pinellas or in Pinellas. How is your school district handling masks? Is it like in Hillsborough, is it mandatory masking with a medical opt-out or is it optional? Give us a call. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can also text 813-433-0885. If you text, please sign your name. You can email dj@wmnf.org, and we'll be taking phone calls in just a bit. But I want to ask more from Tammy Kaplan. So you were mentioning the number of cases in schools, and it's possible that the peak in Florida has already occurred and we may be on the downslide. Let me read a little bit about some good news. Last week, the weekly number of cases in schools dipped by 35% in both Hillsborough and Pinellas counties. That may be in part because the week was shorter because of the Labor Day holiday. But in Florida overall, there appears to be the beginnings of a decline in cases and an infection rate that might be mirrored in schools. Do you have any thoughts about why this is happening? And you answer, don't want to get anybody misled. There are still way, way, way more cases and a higher percentage of infection rate now than there has been really throughout the pandemic, except for the last few weeks. But it does seem that the peak may have been just a week or two ago, and it might be on the decline now. So, Tammy, how would you react to what's happening in schools?
Well, again, with that, I am not a doctor. I'm not an epidemiologist, but I do think that after the Labor Day weekend, the concern is we're not going to see it for a week to 2 weeks, but we're going to have another spike because there was a lot of activities that were happening and people aren't necessarily making safe choices when they're out. It's hard to predict, you know, what is going to happen and what's not going to happen. However, again, with this particular variant, we do, you know, primarily unvaccinated people are having a major issue, but even people who are vaccinated sometimes have to get hospitalized. So even if it's coming down, the whole point of mask mandate would be temporary until ideally we would have a case positivity rate of 5% or less, because that would show that community spread has slowed. We're lower than we were. We're no longer above 20%, but we're still at double digits. So it would be just until that time has come and or the vaccination is available to every student. And then at that point, you know, parents really do have a choice. They really have been able to decide what is best for their kid. At this point, if you have a child who's 11 or under, that isn't even an option. And again, there is a lot of confusion about that children can't breathe with masks, they're getting carbon dioxide, they're not getting enough oxygen. And none of this has been substantiated by any doctor. I was actually speaking with the chief of Johns Hopkins Infectious Diseases, and you know, she again corroborated that no, there are no adverse effects to masks. They're not comfortable, people don't like them, but they do their job, and that's where they're important. So again, even if we see something going down, I can tell you from what I've seen in the three schools that I've been at, that we're still seeing a lot of positive cases, a lot of spread, and we really, numbers can also be going down because people simply aren't testing. A lot of people, the facilities that were set up last year aren't set up. It's harder to find a place to test. Yes, you can get a home test, but that doesn't actually count. I don't know how to analyze the data properly, except that I know like kids don't feel safe, teachers don't feel safe, and that's not an ideal way to go about the year. Yes, some kids aren't aware and some teachers don't feel there's a threat, but I think again, in polling has shown that the vast majority of parents and also community members feel this is an important issue. So while you know, parental rights are a wonderful thing, I think what you do with your child in your home, but I think again, we have a social contract, and when we are in a community situation, there are certain things that we have to do for the community. You wouldn't allow somebody to come into a classroom and just start smoking a cigarette, because we know that that's bad. In the same vein, we know that this virus is out there. We know that it's bad. And why risk something happening to any teachers or any children? At least we can't do the entire community as far as protection goes, but we could definitely make sure that when children are in school, schools are the safest place. And that's what we saw last year. There was a minimal amount of cases. Most cases were traced outside of schools, not in schools, and schools weren't in one of the safest places you could be. Why do we not want them to be that again? I don't understand. That would seem to me to be the best way to move forward. And also, when we're building on a year where we've had a tremendous amount of learning loss, both from online students and just, you know, last year not being a typical year, kids need to be in school. You can't learn if you're not in school. And that doesn't happen if you're sick or if you're quarantined. And the solution is not to just stop quarantining people, because then more people are just going to get sick. So that the logic just doesn't seem to follow any medical guidelines. And that's how I feel. I mean, I realize at the last meeting, there were a bunch of people that were stating that it's not legal. And it's not legal because something was done that it was constitutional overreach, which obviously not all parents agree on that. But I do feel strongly that when it comes out in court, that's what we're going to see. There's no emergency orders in place in the state. So for that to be done preemptively without an emergency existing, and also for it to be done not for the benefit of the people, but for the benefit of people who follow DeSantis, you've turned a public health situation into something political, which makes absolutely no sense, because it's not political. It doesn't matter what your party affiliation is. It matters that we keep our kids and our teachers safe. That's the number one priority.
You're listening to WMNF Tampa. My guest is Tammy Kaplan. I'm Sean Canand. Tammy is with Pinellas Parents Advocating for Public Schools. We do have a few people on the line, so what I'll do is I'll go to the phones now. If you'd like to join the queue, the number is 813-239-9663, and you can tell us about what you think about mask mandates, about how you're students' school district is handling it. And you can also text us at 813-433-0885. You can email DJ at WMNF.org. It's 10:36 in the morning, and you're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5 FM. Joining us on the phone, we have David in Pasco County. Hi, David. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, how are you? I like your analogy about the speed limit and the masking. You know, 45 miles an hour is posted. Masking is suggested or almost mandated now. People don't go 45. The key is enforcement. I drive every day. I drive for a living. And if I'm traveling down a road where the posted speed limit is 45 miles an hour, you can bet your bottom dollar that there's people exceeding that. And what I don't see from the, particularly the Pasco or the Pinellas County Sheriff's Departments, which is where I live, is enforcement. They don't pull anybody over. The lane changing is erratic.
So, David, pivot this to the mask argument.
Yes, but to the mask argument, my kids are grown, but I still encourage them to wear a mask in certain situations. If you're around a lot of people, I think it's for my own personal and my children's, my family's protection to wear a mask. If I'm alone, maybe in the car with the windows rolled up, the AC on, I don't wear the mask, but I see people that do.
Well, I want to thank you so much for wishing us a happy birthday. That is very nice of you. And today is the 42nd birthday of WMNF, and we're very happy about that. So, David, thank you so much for mentioning that. And David's argument, comparison to the speed limit, which was your original comparison, Tammy,
right.
I couldn't tell exactly where he was going with that one. It sounded like he might have been more, worried about enforcement, and I think that that it would be enforced, like it is in Hillsborough, for example. I assume.
Right.
I don't know. Anything to add to that?
Well, I know. I mean, I think he was going with people don't follow the rules, and that's what's happening now. Again, not being him, I'm not entirely sure. But the entire point of that is that. What the speed limit is that is posted is that's what the safe speed is. And I mean, where I live, there is definitely enforcement. I mean, if you go speeding through a school zone, you're going to get a very hefty ticket. If you're driving erratically, I mean, again, I think that enforcement is absolutely possible. And we do have a very large and active police department that do their best with that. I don't think that they're going to catch every case, but that's not really the point. The point is that when we come together, we all agree to these rules. Some people are going to break the rules, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what is the safest thing for everybody. And again, it's universal masking. And one of the things that he had said is that I wear the mask to protect myself. And I would love it if it was that simple, that would be great. I've talked to some parents that are like, it's easy peasy. You do what you feel. I do what I feel. It's all good. But the science doesn't work that way. If I am wearing a mask, and someone is infected and they are within 6 feet of me, the Delta variant can spread extremely quickly. I have seen one epidemiologist suggested that it can be in less than 15 seconds you can have spread. So it's a risk that's not worth taking. And it is putting my children at risk, even though they are wearing masks. Again, it's not as clean cut as the argument has been that you just do what you want and I do what I want and all parents can just make these choices. It doesn't work that way, because when your choice is going to adversely impact or harm my child and or my family, that's not okay. You can't allow harm to be happening in schools when you know how to do it. You know better. We know what the preventative measures are. We've been doing them. We're tired of them, for sure. But that doesn't mean that they're not effective. It doesn't mean that they don't need to be in place.
You're listening.
That's what I was saying. Sorry.
No problem. You're listening to WMNF Tampa. I'm Sean Canaan. My guest is Tammy Kaplan with Pinellas Parents Advocating for Public Schools. She is a supporter of mandatory masking in Pinellas County schools, just like there is in Hillsborough with a medical opt-out. And on WMNF Tampa, we're having this discussion. We're asking you what you think about it and what your local school district is like. I'm going to read a couple of voicemails, and if you'd like to comment on them, you can, Tammy. And our people at home can also weigh in by calling 813-239-9663. So this message is, it looks like it's from, I can't tell who it's from right now, but it says, I've been dealing with COVID since day one and I'm tired. Oh, it's traveling nurse. I've been dealing with COVID since day one, and I'm tired of these people saying masks don't work. If you insist on not wearing a mask, sign a medical waiver stating you do not want any medical care due to the fact that you're, he says a mean thing, people need care in the hospitals and can't get it because these unvaccinated people refuse to listen. Therefore, they don't deserve medical care. So this is what the traveling nurse is saying. And this kind of goes back to the point before, if you don't wear a mask, it's not really your own health that you're mostly impacting. It's the health of others. And let me read this. So thank you, traveling nurse, for that. I also forgot to thank David for his call. Thank you to David and Pasco for that. Doug in Clearwater says, masking floods, fires, and no trees. People, just wear the mask, stop driving, and play more Led Zeppelin. So thank you, Doug, for that, that comment. So we're getting a few more calls. So why don't we go to one more caller before we go back to our guest, Tammy. So Nav in Tampa. Nav, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, thank you. I just want to make a quick point on that Delta variant. It originated in India, and they had a big spike and then a big drop. And India had no mask mandate. And then the UK, which also got it before America, they had a huge spike, a huge drop, and they do not allow masks in public schools. And I think even here in America, we were behind those two countries with respect to Delta. We had a huge spike, and even by your own admission, in one of the reports you read, we probably have already plateaued and are probably dropping. And the point I'm trying to make here is I think too many people are putting too much emphasis on the mask. I'm not against masking. If you want to wear it, wear it. If you don't, you shouldn't be forced to. But I think we need to expand our debate and look at other countries that already had Delta. And I studied what happened in India and in the UK before I called this in. And they don't have mask mandates anywhere. India is a huge country. And they had the worst Delta spike ever. And it completely dropped. And I think the same thing is going to happen in America. And I just want to get your guest's opinion on just the natural evolution of the virus and how it works.
Hey, Nav, so I'm going to let my guest answer in just a second, but I want to point out the things that the whole point of any kind of epidemiological intervention, like mandating masks or even recommending masks or like social distancing and lockdowns, the point is to not have a spike or to flatten that spike. And so if your example is in this country, there was this giant spike, that's a failure of epidemiological intervention. And so if you're saying that there was a spike and they didn't require masks, what I would do if I were next in line, I would say, well, I want to take more invasive epidemiological actions to make sure that there isn't a spike like that, or at least that it's flattened. Second point, sorry to be hogging the conversation, I'm going to get back to my guest in just a second, is England. England has had some very, very strict, relative to the United States, restrictions on all sorts of activities. Bars just opened up recently, a few months ago maybe, in Britain after months and months and months. That's not the case in the United States. Great Britain, or at least the UK, has had a very severe restrictions relative to the United States. So whether or not they're requiring masks in schools, that's something I'm completely ignorant about, I have to admit. I don't know the status of masks in schools in Great Britain, but I do know that they had lockdowns and that they had where people couldn't leave unless they were going to the pharmacist or to the doctor or something like that. They couldn't leave their house. That wasn't really the case, maybe in the early days in the U.S., So those are my two points before we go back to my guest. Tammy, would you like to weigh in, rescue me here?
Yeah, no, actually, I have some family that lives in the UK, so that is definitely the case. While masks were not required in schools, schools were not actually in session. So when they locked down, they were in the house. They, like you said, they could go to get food, they could go to the pharmacy, but they were primarily in their homes. So there wasn't a requirement for that because they weren't allowed to go anywhere. Also, with India, I don't know that, I think that if more masks were available, more people would have worn them. But when you look at the death rate that happened there, and that could have been avoided, I also don't see that as a good example, because that's exactly the type of thing that we want to avoid. India went through a horrible, horrible time. It was, where they just had mass graves and they didn't even know what to do with all the bodies they have. Why would we say, oh, well, let's just get through this and get to the other side, when these are people, these are lives. Every one of them should absolutely matter. So, I think that it's very easy when it's something that you don't feel affected by or it hasn't impacted you or your family to look at that and say, well, it's going to be over soon. And I don't mean to belittle your comment. That's not my point at all. But I do think that it doesn't really express the severity of what's happening. And the other issue is that this is the Delta variant. The Lambda variant is the next that's coming up, and we don't know what's coming up behind any of that. When you speak to epidemiologists, they're concerned about what is the next mutation. So I, again, the masks are the simplest, safest way to prevent spread. And again, you're not going to stop spread with it. It's not 100%. Nothing is 100%. But you're going to keep that, you're going to slow it so that you don't overwhelm your medical system and everything gets to keep functioning. Hopefully everything stays open. I know at this point, nothing's going to close here, but you might not get medical care. So I don't see that as a trade-off that's worth it. That's my personal thought.
You're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5 FM. My name is Sean Canaan, and my guest for the rest of this hour is Tammy Kaplan. She's with the group called Pinellas Parents Advocating for Public Schools. There's a Pinellas County School Board meeting at 5 this afternoon. It's very likely that Caprice Edmonds, one of the school board members, will make a motion to ask for a special meeting to discuss whether Pinellas should mandate masks. The last time that vote came up, it was a 4-3 vote against. There's some reason to believe that a few of the school board members, a couple of the school board members who are on the fence on that vote and may vote to support it in some other time. It's possible. Who knows what will happen until there's actually a vote and a discussion. But you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. We do have some more emails and some more phone calls to go to, but I want to ask my guests about the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights sent a letter on Friday to the Florida Department of Education that says that the federal agency is starting to investigate Florida's ban on school mask mandates. And I think that the reason for that is because it's potentially discriminatory against people with disabilities in schools.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that investigation?
Well, anyone who has a 504 or an IEP, usually 504 has to do more with medical. IEP is going to be more if you have an issue with the nature of learning needs that you need to require resources. But that is a huge, massive concern. It definitively is discriminatory, and I can speak to this from a friend whose daughter has a heart condition and was exposed at school, and that. Being on the phone with someone while they're crying because they're scared for their daughter's life, when all we need to do is mask. I've got friends that have children with type 1 diabetes that have pulled their kids out of school because, again, they don't feel that they're safe there. You have asthma, there's a variety of things, and that doesn't even begin to talk about the families. If you're going home to grandparents or parents who have cancer or are immune compromised, or if you're taking immune suppressant medication for whatever reason, the vaccine isn't as effective. It still is going to prevent you from dying, which is, that's good. But all of that transmission can easily be tamed down and lowered and leveled out just by wearing masks in schools. I've had a lot of parents ask me why does the bus, you have to wear a mask on a bus, but kids are packed three to a seat, nobody's wearing a mask, and that you're just asking for something dangerous to happen. And then you also get into the situation where it's interesting. made a special order so that if anyone was bullied for not wearing a mask, they could get a HOPE scholarship, which was you could use to go to a private school. But what's really happening is the opposite. More people are speaking out to people who are wearing masks, and it depends on the school. It depends on the climate. I have one teacher who quit because she was concerned that her kids kept taking their masks off, and she wanted the teacher to please remind them to keep them on, had a discussion with the principal, and the principal basically said, not happening, not doing it. And she couldn't do it anymore. So she pulled her kids and she quit. We already have a shortage of teachers. We don't need to drive away any more teachers. I know other schools, what their policy is if they see a child come to school with a mask, they'll say, your parents sent you with the mask, please put the mask on. But again, it's all a moot point unless everybody is doing it. And yes, if you have a medical reason that you can't have one, obviously, I mean, again, the CDC, you know, says, please, you know, if you have trouble breathing, if you can't take it off, there's a variety of reasons that you might not be able to wear them. But we actually wear them for those people as well. I mean, it's the whole idea is to protect the school, protect the community, and that's done most effectively with universal masking. And I have yet to find anyone have a cohesive source that states otherwise. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Our guest is Tammy Kaplan. You're listening to WMNF Tampa. I'm Sean Canaan. Tammy's with Pinellas Parents Advocating for Public Schools. There is a Pinellas County School Board meeting this afternoon at 5. I'm going to read a couple of quick emails. We've got a couple of people on the line that we will probably have time to get to. But let me read these emails. The first is from Don D. and Vaughn in Tampa. They're wishing happy birthday to WMNF. And they say, thank you to all the great music and shows you continue to do. That's a very nice sentiment. I'm glad you said that. Thank you for that. And then this is someone who is asking for resources, says, thanks for covering this deeply important topic. Is there a website where doctors, parents, students, and all affected people across all trades can connect and build people power? Thanks so much to your guests. So that's from the 813 area code asking our guest, Tammy Kaplan, if there is a resource where people are gathering together and sharing this information.
Well, I think people are, there are a lot of social media groups that are gathering this information. I can tell you the information that I've been getting has come from Yale Medicine, the American Medical Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the CDC, Johns Hopkins, and everything else is just a repeat of those sources. But those are the sources where you should go to find accurate information. A big issue with misinformation is that people just look at a meme or something on Facebook and say, oh, okay, well, that's it. But they don't actually look at what is actually happening. Or they'll look at something with the CDC discusses like different, and it might be the CDC or it might be Johns Hopkins. I can't remember. I think it's Johns Hopkins. Talks about the need to have more than one ply mask, and from that they take away, well, a mask is ineffective. You can't just take one piece of information and take it out of context. That's not what they're saying. And even at the last school board meeting, the very study that Mr. Dudley used to say that he wasn't going to vote for the mask mandate, it showed that schools in Florida last year, whether they masked or they didn't mask, there wasn't a large difference. That study also concluded that universal masking should be happening in schools. So, and not to mention the fact that that had to do with the Alpha variant, not the Delta variant. And we haven't seen Pinellas schools actually have a conversation with their medical team about the Delta variant. I have personally spoken to some of the people that are on that medical team to ask them what their stance is. And I have not had anyone yet say that they disagree with universal masking, but I know that I can't name anybody because then they're going to get in trouble, which is kind of ridiculous, but that's where we're at because it has become completely political. And instead of talking to those experts, listening to what they have to say, listening to the recommendations, we're listening to someone who doesn't have a medical degree. We're listening to someone who doesn't listen to the head of his own Department of Health, and that person has recently resigned. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me what is happening when we do have medical experts. Again, we have 70,000 experts that have agreed that universal masking is the safest way for schools to proceed without having to go to a lockdown or go back to online learning. And even though Florida is definitely not going to do that, they're going to say they don't have the resources for it. It didn't go well last year. What's going to happen if the cases are just going to get higher, people are going to get sicker, and again, hospitals are going to stay jammed, and there's no reason for that to happen. There's absolutely no reason. So that's what I would say. And also, and I think I had spoken about this with you before, my youngest has sensory processing, and I know that there are a lot of people who have kids ESE and have other developmental issues that find it a big struggle to wear a mask. And I just want to say that I do definitively understand that. I mean, for us, it took finding a mask that was comfortable. We ended up finding some TikTok dances that were about safety. We turned it into a fun thing, and that wearing the mask was fun. And now we have no problems with it. And this is a kid who literally cannot tolerate socks. If cotton is not touching her skin, she's just going to take it off. She even cutting her nails drives her crazy. We have some, you know, pretty high sensory things going on. So if you truly want your child to wear a mask, it is definitely possible. It is definitely worth it. But you also need to make it positive. It shouldn't be a scary thing. And I think that's where some parents are coming from, that they feel that their child is afraid. And that isn't what it's about. You know, we tell our children, you know, you're protecting your community. You're protecting your grandparents. And I know just even yesterday, my daughter asked if I could send a video of her to the school board so she could explain that it makes her stay safe and that she really wishes that everyone in her class is wearing one. Haven't done that yet, but, you know, I appreciate the sentiment, and I'm so happy that at such a young age she gets it. And I wish other people were able to do the same thing without putting themselves in front of the entire community. And that's what it's about. It's about everybody, not just one person.
And Tammy Kaplan is our guest, and I'm Sean Canaan. She's with Pinellas Parents Advocating for Public Schools. You're listening to WMNF Tampa. We have about a minute left. John and Lutz, can you make your point really quickly?
Yeah, thanks, Sean. I just want to mention last PASCO meeting with the school board last Tuesday, I was there. They started the meeting with a moment of silence for a teacher who died. They also talked about how COVID's caused them to have $12 million in claims. Three of my daughter's friends were quarantined. Two of them tested positive, and a friend had died of COVID. So I just don't understand why there aren't mask mandates in Pasco County as well. There's another meeting tonight at 6:30.
All right. Thank you, John, for that comment. And as we wrap up, Tammy, is there anything else that you'd like to tell people about? Where is the Pinellas School Board meeting, and how can people get involved? If you can do that in about 30 seconds, that'd be great.
It is, I don't think I have the actual address on me.
I can read the address. It's at the, I don't have the exact address now that I mentioned that, but it is called the PCS Administration Building in Largo. You can probably find that on a Maps application.
I believe it's 4th Street Southwest. It's a big red brick building that you can't possibly miss. And what I would say to that is if you want to get there, the meeting starts at 5. Try to get there about half an hour early so you can sign up to speak. I imagine this meeting is going to be another really long one. A lot of people are going to speak, but if the school board doesn't hear that this is what the majority of people want, they're going to continue following DeSantis, because that seems to be the way that the school board is leaning at the moment. But I do truly feel that if they hear the community and they hear what's happening and hear that parents are just incredibly frustrated, they're frustrated with not knowing what's going on. They're frustrated that there's a contact tracer at their school with whom they may or may not know who that person is.
Tammy, we're out of time, yep. I have to say, but I want to thank you so much for coming on WMNF. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Tammy Kaplan is a mother of school-age children in St. Petersburg and is part of the group called Pinellas Parents Advocating for Public Schools. The school board meeting in Largo is at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Thanks to Barbara Fling for answering phones. I'm Sean Canaan. Next Tuesday at 10 in the morning, I hope you tune in. I'm going to have a great interview, I hope, with Dave Zirin. He's the author of the new book about sports and resistance. It's called The Kaepernick Effect, Taking a Knee, Changing the World. Stay tuned now for Janelle Irwin in her new time, 11 o'clock on Tuesday mornings. That's coming up after NPR headlines. This is WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, Lakeland, Clearwater, Newport Richey. Thanks so much for listening to WMNF.org.